at least for today, we have more formulas from God's holy word. It's unique how things come to us, interrupt us. But to take time out to look at the formulas God has for us to read his word in our lives. Today and this morning, I'd like for us to look at God's word, the book of Philippians, and look at some formulas that are in there from Philippians. Our first passage this morning is read by our fine brother, Philippians 1, and this morning I got the steps right out so you don't have to even look at them so much. That your love may abound still more and more in the knowledge and all discernment. Brother Brad brought that up this morning, that how does our love abound more and more and more? And how many of us in our careers didn't have to do anything and aren't doing anything better and don't try to better ourselves and we keep moving up and we keep making more money? Anybody? Nobody's been really fortunate in their careers by not going the extra mile, by not maybe turning the other cheek. Another formula. Some of the hard, maybe that's next week's lesson, hard formulas. But I ask that from a perspective of that your love may abound still more and more. And is that something you want to do in your life? Obviously, most of us want to make a little more money. Maybe get a little bit more vacation time. Get a little bit more, a few pats on the back in our lives. Do we want to be more loving? If someone is going to say, what are your goals for this year? And I'd have to say, I didn't think about me being more loving. But obviously, that's certainly one of God's formulas for us to be more loving than we were yesterday. Does that sound like we can do that? I've loved all I can love. So we're still growing in the knowledge and the grace and the truth. I have enough knowledge and enough discernment. I don't need any more. No. And I know all the good things. I know how to discern between right and wrong, good and evil. Most of us should be pretty close to that. But we're always tempted with those things, right? That you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. I could be as sincere as a heart attack. But to be without offense, I need to work on that, just ask my wife. Some of you don't have that problem. Maybe you have a hard time being serious. I don't know. But being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ. The fruits that we always talk about. Good works. We are created in good works. To do good works for Him. For the kingdom. You know, and it's unique. I didn't start with this, but to pray. I mention all these things to say, how is my love going to get better and my knowledge and my discernment and being without offense and sincere and approve the things that are right and be filled with fruits of righteousness without prayer? First step. First step. I talked about all those things you've done in prayer. How many of us have filled out job applications before? That's the first step, right? It might not be the first step. First step is, hey, I heard a job. You need to talk to somebody. I know somebody that knows somebody. But sometimes your first step is filling out an application. or inquiring about a job. The first part of a formula, typically in God's formula, is to pray about it. To recognize my heart needs to be open to be able to let that formula work in my life and guide my heart, my mind, my soul. In Philippians chapter 2, it is written, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now, you can add all these things together as a formula. Or, you know, there's some things you can just pick out of there and use for yourself. But these are some things that I pulled out of that passage as far as a formula for us. That God wants us to have in our hearts. Being comforted by love. Love of one another. Fellowship of the Spirit. To be affectionate and have mercy. To be joyful about being like-minded. Brother Lucas brought up to be excited to know the power of salvation and of our Savior and His grace and mercy. Having the same love that Jesus did. Being of one accord and of one mind. Letting nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you not only look out for your own interests, but for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He humbled himself and became obedient even to the point of death. I am so thankful of Jesus' example. Because the world wants us to think of ourselves for... How many self-help books have each of us maybe read or have heard of? Okay? How many Help Your Neighbor books have you read or heard of? Don't get me wrong. You got to help yourself a little bit sometimes before you can help others. Yes and no. But the concept of Jesus and Christianity is in helping yourself, you're actually helping others. Get outside of yourself, so to speak. Not to become so self-involved. To be able to look outside the box. To stop and smell the roses. Jesus experienced the same things we did and didn't make any excuse for not loving others as he loved himself. He even loved us to the point, and he obeyed and was obedient, that'll be another passage coming up, to the Father, that he gave his life for us. He gave his life for us. And maybe to put it in context, this morning, from that perspective, I think a lot of us would say, I'll give my life for you. I would. To protect you guys, I would do that. But let's go a step further. I'm going to write a check and empty out my bank account. My direct deposit's going to be distributed in each one of you guys' bank accounts. I only make 50 cents a day, so you guys are all getting a penny piece. I'm just kidding a little bit. But for us to consider what we treasure, and we do treasure our bank accounts and our lives. I'm not saying we treasure them above, but I'm saying to give up something, to put it a little bit more in perspective, in a worldly perspective. Okay? Or I'm going to give you each an hour of my time, okay, per family for a month. Okay? So that means we've got 15 or 20 families, and I got 20 days that I got to come visit each of you one day a month. Now a lot of you say, no thanks, I like the thought. It's the thought that counts. Don't come by and see me. Okay, that's okay. I'm just a little bit, but time and money are things that we all have. Jesus had all the power in the world, all the time for eternity and all those things, and he still said, I love you above all those things. You're still more important than all those things. And it makes me consider the importance I put on you guys and your faith and our faith as children of God together. Unity, one mind, joy, affection, fellowship of the Spirit, the comfort of love. And I have peace when I come in here and see you guys. Yes. That's why I said thank you and I love you and I appreciate you. But let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Have you looked around in the room this morning? Somebody you normally don't speak to? And even if you say in your heart and in your mind, I love you, man, it's good to see you today. You guys aren't the preacher or the elders, or and it may not be in your repertoire to run around and say good morning to each and every person. Sometimes that's not possible for me. But go that next step. Tell God that you love those people that are sitting around you today. One of the most peaceful things that I can do in my life, and I praise him for that, but I also ask you guys to consider this, is in my daily prayers when I tell God I forgive all those who forgive sin against me. With an honest heart, with an open heart, with a contrite heart. There's a peace that comes over me each and every day when I say those words, because the reality and the preciousness of being able to forgive everyone no matter what. Because that's what God has done for us. Part of one of God's formulas from God from Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do good for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the words of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Always obey. Always obey. My wife does not always obey me. Maybe neither should she. My children don't obey me. They're their own adults. Okay? My grandchildren have their own parents, even though I'd like for to be, you know, a parent again sometimes. But it's more important for me to obey Jesus and be that example in their lives than to try to make them obey something or me. Yeah, I got to be obedient at work. There's rules and regulations and policies and laws. But more importantly, to always obey God.
Here's what happens if you decide I'm not going to obey God. You don't have to worry about your salvation or fear or trembling or love or nothing because you don't care. Or if you don't want to obey, you decide to do things and you want to complain and dispute all the time. You're always contentious. And I plead with us to obey the example of Christ when we feel like we need to be complainers. We want to justify ourselves or be contentious or be disputing about something. Jesus was always in the right. Always. But yet, he humbled himself to always obey God. We are blameless and harmless as children of God, without fault in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation. And the way we can shine as lights is we got to make sure we stay there. That we don't complain and dispute when everybody else does. When everybody at work complains and disputes. With people with an election year this year, complaining and disputing and contentions and hate. That we may shine as lights in the world. No better time during an election year for Christians to shine. Holding fast the word of life. And rejoicing that we're doing the right thing. We haven't labored in vain. We haven't made mistakes with our tongues and our minds and our hearts and our actions. We always obey. Philippians chapter 3, not that I have already attained or I am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of for me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. Bunch of thoughts going through my mind right now, and I'm not going to share any of those. Just examples of different things. So I'll read God's word and his formula. To press on. That seems simple. But we have a lot of brothers and sisters in Christ that aren't here because they're not pressing on. Because those things which were behind them and the things they're reaching forward to for, they've not forgotten the things behind them. They still cling on to those things. Whether it's money or whether it's relationships, physical relationships, or whether it's substance abuse. All those things pull people away from God. Pull them away from us. Pressing toward the goal of the prize upward calling God in Jesus. Pressing forward to eternal life. And those people that keep reaching back, okay, it's tough for them to have the mind to walk by the same rule and be mature. It's tough for them, just as Paul says, you have need to be stronger and you should be eating meat, but you're still on the bottom. Folks, when people quit pressing on and they reach back to those things in their past, Maybe it's jealousy. Maybe it isn't the physical things we talked about. Maybe it's jealousy. Maybe it's hurt. Maybe it's lack of forgiveness, lack of love. Those things are not mature in Christ. You wonder why you can't be at peace? Maybe you're pressing on to something else. You're pressing on for your bank account, your prestige, to be somebody, just like we read in that second passage this morning. Jesus said, hey, I'm just a Job. I'm going to show you how to love one another and to forgive one another and how God really wants us to act. First will be last. Last will be first. Humble ourselves. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Our last passage this morning comes from Philippians 4. And it reads as this. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts, your hearts, and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let your gentleness be known to all men. Be anxious for nothing. In prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, if there's any virtue or anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. We've gathered this morning to meditate on those things from God's holy word. Satan tempts us with being anxious for things, worrying about things. The media bombards us with things that happen all over the world, millions of different thoughts and minds and things and stuff. Satan wants us to dwell on those things. God wants us to dwell on those things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue, praiseworthy. Are you reading your Bible more than you read the news? Now, that's a convicting deal for me because I don't. I do read my Bible every day, God's Word every day. I read the news every day. I read a lot more news than I do the Bible. I confess that probably not as good for me. But God's holy word is revealing that to me, and I'm sharing that with you this morning. I pray whatever God's word has revealed to you this morning as we've looked through these formulas from Philippians, that it helps you in your walk to be prayerful, to be loving, to be obeying, to press on, and rejoice always in the Lord. Each one of those main topics from the formulas we've looked at this morning. If God's formulas are working on your heart, you need prayers, We plead for you to ask for them. No better way and no better people to pray for you than these people here. Us, your family. If you haven't committed your life to Jesus, start following the formula to be saved from your sins. We implore you this morning to do that as we stand and sing the selected hymn.